Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch,
presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse,
with Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Gotta feed you some more football here on this Turn It Up Tuesday. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. Nolan McGraw's on the other side of the glass. If you want to get in, now's your chance for Ted. 583-1057, Turn It Up Tuesday. We crank it up to 12, so pick the song you want loud. Final hour of the show. We talked about this last segment. David Ajabo, where has he been? John Harbaugh was asked that very question yesterday.
Yeah, well, I have those conversations with the guys personally every single day. And so you make those decisions based on who gives and what and who and when and how gives you the best chance, you think, that in that game that week. And there's a lot of things that go into each of those decisions.
Well, the thing with Ajabo, he's been inactive, what, three of the last four? And Deesa Isaac is up. So Isaac, they feel like, gives him a better chance to win than Ajabo right now, which is not good news for Ajabo. And, Bob, when he did come back for that one game, he didn't play well.
Now, I'm guessing the playing time is determined during practice? Or is this already kind of like, well, we've got a gauge on what he's bringing to the equation, and these matchups don't really benefit him or us.
That's probably a good point, and a good piece of it is you know, who's better for us in this game? Is Adisa Isaac or is David Ajabo better for us in this game? And I would think, Bob, that the same people that played against Pittsburgh, it's going to be pretty much the same people they're going to want to play in against the Chargers, because it's going to be run heavy just like the Steelers were.
Ajabo, one sack this year. You're Eric DaCosta, you're John Harbaugh, you're the defensive coordinator, Zach Gore. How you feeling about him? Is this like another redshirt season, then he's got to ramp it up? Or, you know, are hard decisions going to have to be made after this year, 3 years in?
Yeah, if things keep going, there's only seven games left. He's probably not going to be active for this one. So he's going to probably, by the time it's all said and done, Bob, he's probably going to be inactive more than he's going to be active. So, training camp, and he's got to have a hell of a OTAs off season for him to be able to stick around.
All right, this is the last time I'm asking this question. You can ask it as much as you like, ladies and gentlemen, but the two-point conversion, no Derrick Henry, so why was that again?
Derrick Henry's a great football player, and you want him out there situationally, but he's not out there for every play. So like I said after the game, that's the play that was called. That's the personnel group that it was set up in. I'd like to have had a better play there, you know, and I'd like to have had a successful play. So you look back on it, and that's how you feel about it. You feel bad about it.
Yeah, and it was. Yeah. Harbaugh is being nice right there, but I'm sure he's pissed off. Like, why in the hell did we do that? And the execution stunk. And why wasn't Derrick Henry? He's probably saying the same thing. Derrick Henry had 30 plays, and Justice Hill had 30. So, the thing is they were running the ball. They'd have been better off just handing it to Derrick Henry for 3 yards. go ram your head on the goalpost, you know?
Or have him out there so it's something they have to think about at least.
Well, what ideally what you'd like is kind of the run-pass option thing. Okay, just same thing they ran last week. You run the dive to Derek. Does the end crash down? End doesn't crash down? Give it. End crashes down, boom. Lamar walks out the side. So I'm sure that Todd is like kicking himself in the ass for that one.
And what people have been asking the last 2 days, our callers here, and via the text line, doesn't John Harbaugh ultimately have veto power to prevent that? If he's not comfortable with it, and granted things are kind of moving.
No, but I'll go back to this,
Bob. They were at a timeout.
No. Pittsburgh had just done what? Called a timeout.
Called a timeout.
Right. So they had time and they talked about it. And to run that play. Because here's the thing about it is it basically it was failed before you even, you know, with the Ravens probably should have called a timeout when they saw the alignment because Aguilar cannot block a defensive end. And that's who blew up the play. You know, he's coming hard inside. So, right from that, I mean, I got a mismatch already and not in my favor. I guess maybe what the screw-up might have been was Aguilar would have been much better being in the – if they had swapped spots because Aguilar could have doubled down. I mean, wide receiver, I used to do that. You double with the tackle. All you got to do is make sure your shoulder's on his hip, and you can. That's all you got to be able to do. And then likely block the defensive end more so than a wide receiver. So maybe they were should have been switch spots.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. NFL Lunch here on this Turn It Up Tuesday. Now, people, again, calling in, want John Harbaugh fired. We're 5-0 in the get rid of Harbaugh. Not that I'm keeping tally, but I kind of am. 5-0, and I don't know what's happening over there with the text line Plaza Ford. I'm sure it's probably Nolan leaning in the dismiss John Harbaugh.
Oh, you heard a lot of it yesterday.
Right.
Heard a lot more today.
So as the fans are critical of John Harbaugh, John, do you reflect on some coaching decisions there?
It's my job to make sure that we're doing the things that we got to do, and we've from a coaching standpoint, from a drill standpoint, from an emphasis standpoint, technique standpoint, and making sure guys understand that, you know, it's not okay. It's not acceptable. We've all got to be intentional about getting it stopped, and my job to make sure that everybody's focused on it.
Yeah, and what you got to do is you got to go, you know, in each guy in each position group, when you're sitting down with them or in a team meeting, you go over every penalty and you replay it. All right. This got to go away. Ronnie, you got to get your hands inside. I mean, it is what it is, Ronnie. Or if the guy's getting away from you, you just got to let him go. You know, and then Pat McCary, Pat, you know better than that. You can't be downfield. So, I mean, you've got to, Harbaugh's got to deal with all these individually and then collectively too. And then reemphasize it when they're out at practice. And the O-line coach, you're keeping an eye on Ronnie during practice. Ronnie, hands in tight, Ronnie, tight hands. You know, and keep repeating that. And, you know, so you just got to emphasize it. And it seems like when they play good and they're in a flow offensively, they're not getting all this stuff.
They're just kind of marching up and down the field.
Yeah.
And even if they do get a penalty, they're cooking so well, they just, okay, whatever, 5 yards, we can make this up.
Yeah, and this week they couldn't.
Now, tough loss, certainly, for John Harbaugh and his Ravens, but there's plenty of football left to be played, right, John?
And other things are just week-to-week decisions that you make. I mean, you make decisions week-to-week. It's a week-to-week league.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's pretty clear. You know, I say that a lot up here, and I think we all know that. You know, it's you can't get too high, you can't get too low. And you're not as good as it's not as good as you think when things are going well, and you're not as bad as you think when things aren't going well. It's a long season, and we got a big game next week. So what worked last week or what the plan was last week, whether it's play calls or who's on the field or who plays, it evolves to the next week.
A lot of cliches in that
yes,
one.
Yes, it was.
You know, it's like, am I about done, you know, over there,
but,
Chad?
But I guess trying to read between the lines with the defense, we're not expecting anything drastic. I guess they're kind of satisfied with the personnel they had out there. against
the only
Russell
thing
Wilson.
I would say is, and we heard Harb say it, expanded role, Tre'Davious White, expanded role. And I mean, Bob, if we see it, they see the same thing with Brandon Stevens, and he lunges and misses so many tackles. You know, and, I mean, can't play the ball in the air and he can't tackle. I mean, what the hell good is he? You know, out there, like in the slot and stuff, fine. But then put Tre'Davious. So Tre'Davious White would be on the outside. With the Chargers, Bob McConkie, he runs fast, but he's not that big a guy. Quentin Johnson, kind of an outside.
Sure.
Yep. So, DJ Chark. So it'll be interesting, but I mean, I'm hoping that, and I think it makes the defense stronger if they put White on the outside.
Now, we'll talk more about it tomorrow because we'll have a better idea, definitely by Thursday. But what if Roquan Smith can't go, or I'm a hamstring? He's got to be limited to some level.
Yeah, I would think that one might be tough, and especially, well, you know, Malik Harrison, you have to put him in there, and he's going to be a hammer. And you need a great game from Trenton Simpson in there, too, because they're gonna run the ball. The other one too, Bob, is Travis Jones. I mean, he went out of that game too with a tweaked ankle. Although Washington 96, he played his ass off. He played damn good.
It's 5-7 the Fan. We'll have film breakdown for you tomorrow, by the way. Offense and defense for the Baltimore Ravens in that loss to the Pittsburgh Steelers. When we come back, Feeble Five, we're the five worst teams in the National Football League through 12 weeks. Jets fired their GM today, Joe Douglas. I'm guessing we might hear that name mentioned coming up in a few. John Mioli is going to be joining us from the Baltimore Banner. Talk about this busy Orioles day. You got Rule 5 roster moves you have to make. You got the qualifying offers that went to Burns and Santana. And they're both expected to decline them, of course. And Colton Cowser did not win Rookie of the Year, but let's look at the bigger picture. Colton Cowser could take his game to what level?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
How's it 25?
How in the world?
Vivian Haney's Feeble Five.
It has been a nightmare for this team.
The handful of teams we wish the Ravens were playing.
You suck.
105.7 The Fan.
Vivian Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Turn It Up Tuesday. 12 weeks NFL action in the books. Dallas losing at home last night. Getting blown out by Houston. So that wraps it up. Week 13 starts on Thursday. We'll get into the schedule here in a second. But we gave you the Dirty Dozen, who are the five best teams in the NFL. Five best, 12 best teams, led by the Detroit Lions. Now we talk about the five worst, the Feeble Five.
All righty. Well, week 11, last week's number one was the Giants. Two was Jacksonville. Three was Vegas. Four, Dallas. Five, Cleveland. So coming in this week, coming in at number five, 2-8 Cleveland.
You suck.
Yeah, they lost at New Orleans 35-14. They're hosting Pittsburgh on Thursday night. The Browns, they've allowed 1,317 rushing yards and 14 rushing TDs this season.
Najee Harris, anyone?
Although, yeah, we'll see. Their defense better at home probably than on the road. Yeah, we'll see. Coming in at four, 2-8 Tennessee.
You suck.
They lost to Minnesota 23-13. They're at Houston. The Titans, they've thrown 12 interceptions in 307 attempts. Their 3.9% is worst in the NFL. Coming in at three, 2-8 Vegas.
You suck.
They lost at Miami 34-19. They're hosting Denver. The Raiders average 75 rushing yards per game, worst in the NFL.
Maybe getting rid of Josh Jacobs was not a good decision after all.
No. Coming in at two, 2-8 New York Giants.
You suck.
They're hosting Tampa. Daniel Jones has two games this season where he failed to complete a pass over 15 yards.
Maybe he can watch from the bench and learn from Tommy DeVito this week.
Yeah.
Third QB3.
He's done with. He'll never play another game with the Giants. And then coming at one, Jacksonville.
You suck.
2-9. Lost at Detroit 52-6. They're on bye. The Jags currently have a 29% chance at the top pick. Nearly double the next closest team. This would be the third time in 5 years they chose first.
Whew. Yeah, and Trevor Lawrence has missed the last two games. Mac Jones hasn't really generated a lot of offense. I mean, even the game they lost to the Vikings 2 weeks ago in one of the snooze-fest games of the year.
Or 12-7 or whatever, or 12-10. So, in summary, Jacksonville 1, 2 Giants, 3 Vegas, 4 Tennessee, 5 Cleveland. You know, and you could throw Dallas in there. I mean, there's a bunch of them. There's like, we could have done 10. Feeble 10, because there's Dallas sucks, too. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of teams that are not good right now.
The terrible 10.
Yeah.
How about that? All right, Thursday, as Vinny said, Steelers at the Browns. Steelers, 3.5-point favorites, 8-2 on the year, 4-1 on the road. Cleveland's 1-4 at home. One win, you guessed it, against the Ravens. Vikings at Bears. Minnesota, 3.5-point favorites over Chicago. Detroit's at the Colts. Detroit minus 7.5. Colts coming off that win against the Jets as Anthony Richardson helped accounted for 3 touchdowns there. New England's at Miami. Dolphins minus 7. Miami trying to get a little late playoff push rolling here. We just talked about the Giants. Buccaneers there, favored by 5.5. Tampa needs wins. They're 4-6. They need to start stacking some W's here. Dallas at Washington. Commanders, 10-point favorites in this game. Kansas City's at Carolina. Chiefs minus 11. Tennessee's at Houston, as Vinny said. Texans minus 6.5. Denver's at the Raiders. Denver minus 5.5. San Francisco at Green Bay. Big game for both, especially San Francisco. 5-5 on the year. Pack minus 2.5. Rematch of last year's divisional playoff game. Arizona's at first place, and they're trying to hold off Seattle. In Seattle, where the Seahawks are 1-point favorites. Philly's at the Rams. Philadelphia minus 3 out in L.A. And then Monday night, Ravens at Chargers. Chargers won 4 in a row, 5 of 6, yet they're 3-point dogs against the Baltimore Ravens here. They have a better record. Everything's trending in the right direction, but yet getting disrespected a little bit here.
Yeah. Yeah. And they've been playing good football, and they're believers now. And momentum. Momentum is big in especially this time of the year. They're finding ways to win games. And with the Ravens, they've got to find a way to win a game. They got to start, as Harbs would say, start stacking some wins together. Right. And it's going to be a good against good people.
Yeah, if they lose to the Chargers, that's their 5th loss of the season, 5th conference loss. They're putting themselves in a real tough playoff tiebreaker kind of scenario here.
Yep.
Division against common opponents, division games, conference record. They need to just win no matter who's on the other side of the line. We have time for a call, Nolan. Let's do it. 410-583-1057. How you join us? We got John Mioli talking Orioles in a matter of minutes. Go to Rocky in Baltimore. Rocky, what's up?
Hey, how you doing, fellas? How's everything?
What's up, Rocky?
I just want to say something. Yeah, everything is good. I just want to say that everyone's talking about the 2-point conversion. The 2-point conversion would have put us just in overtime. So what really put us in a bad position was the fact we lost. We missed two field goals. We had penalties for 12 penalties on the game. So, I mean, that 2-point conversion wouldn't have meant anything. It just would have put us in overtime, and it wouldn't have been a guarantee we'd have won.
Nope. All right, Rocky, yeah, thanks for the call.
Oh, that's true. I mean, we've been talking about it all week, mm-hmm. that, you know, the 12 penalties and the three turns, you don't win a game like that, and your quarterback doesn't play good.
But despite all that, they're a 2-point conversion away from tying the game.
Right, and that says it all.
Right. And Ronnie Stanley said, we should have never even been in this situation.
Right, and the thing is, they only ran 54 plays. They ran 24 plays in the second. Bob, they had the ball for 9 minutes the second half and should have won that game in the second half. They outscored them.
Nolan, one more? Let's do it. Let's go to Gwinnock and Shamaz. Shamaz, what's up?
What's good, good, Big Bob Haney, Nomac, Coach. When I tuned in, Coach, I heard you critiquing some players. And I wouldn't have any negative and any pushback, anything you said from your coaching expertise and eye on the players. I do wonder though if I missed you critiquing anything as far as the coaching staff. And this is where I'm going with this, guys. It's become clearly consistent, no matter who the opponent is, in every big game. We seem to go away from our identity and the culture of us being a physical smash-mouth football team. We either play our best when we're balanced or we lean to the run. And the numbers just tell the whole tale, not to mention the snapshot of the 2-point conversion. How in the hell is our – we got the number one running back in the league. We're in a one-score game, 13 carries. I just find that ridiculous. I find it also ridiculous on the 2-point conversion. You don't give the D anything to think about with having Henry on the field along with Lamar. It's just Lamar. I mean, the whole freaking world, all the way to India, knew Lamar was going to do a keeper. So stuff like that just really irks me and raises up my ire between Harbs and Monken. And it's been Harbs more than anybody because he's changed coordinators and it's still been the same thing. We get into the biggest games throughout the season and we completely get away from our identity. Meanwhile, the opponents always seem to stick to their identity and they come out with the win. So all what I'm about to say now is all in fandom, guys. It's all, you know, the extreme of fandom. Mm-hmm. But damn it, between Bashadi, Harbs, and Monken, somebody need to take their butts out to the woodshed and get the switch. All of them need their asses whipped. Straight up. I'm just tired of it, man. We see the same thing consistently every big game. And I'll close on this on a positive note. Haney, I saw the Marquette game Friday.
Yeah.
First off, it's the first time probably since we had the Suleiman Diamond Stone team that I turned on the screen and I said, damn. Our guys look like men. We look like a Big Ten squad. We just look like we got size now. I mean, it's a remarkable Will has done in 1 year of the transfer portal. And I think by the time we get midway through the conference schedule, we should be ranked. I feel a lot better about the Terps this year. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
All right, Samaj, thank you very much. And hopefully this team trends upwards as the season progresses, doesn't implode like that one that he mentioned with Diamond Stone, Suleiman, and Robert Carter, Mello, sophomore year. They peaked at number 2 in the rankings. They did make the Sweet 16, but it was a flawed making if you want to get to that one. But so that's 6-0 against Harbs. But I'm not keeping track. We're going to talk Orioles. John Mioli next. Baltimore Banner. Funhouse. Nolan McGraw. Inside Access at 2. Speaking of the Terps, tonight at 7 against Canisius. You can hear it on The Fan.
Your sports information station. 105.7 The Fan.
Good evening, Haney. 105.7 The Fan. Turn it up Tuesday. Crank it up to 12. Only one more segment to go. Got a little Stones for you. We're almost out the door. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, Inside Access at 2. Maryland Hoops tonight, hosting Canisius down at the Xfinity Center. You can hear that game on 105.7 The Fan. But the Orioles, they got a busy day coming up. You got winter meetings in a couple of weeks. Even though the season's been over for more than a month, as they go quietly into the offseason, getting swept by Kansas City. It's a lot of news surrounding the black and orange, and here to get us caught up on some of it. From the Baltimore Banner, let's welcome back to the show John Mioli. John, what's happening?
Not a lot, you know, just like the Orioles, kind of doing off-season related stuff.
Now let's talk about this overcorrecting of the overcorrection in the left field wall there. And look, it's benefited the pitchers, as we know, probably hasn't out Ryan Mountcastle and other left-hand or right-handed sticks, et cetera, et cetera. Had Aaron Judge whining a couple of years ago. The decision to move it in just a little bit, what kind of intel was that based on, John? I don't know how deep Mike Elias got into it on Friday because we were on the air when he was meeting with the media, but who did he confer with, and why the decision to get things closer to normal, I guess?
Yeah, my understanding of this decision, that it was pretty tight at the highest levels of baseball operations and in the organization, and the reality was that they made a decision a few years ago to address a very real problem that needed to be fixed, and that the ballpark was so detrimental to pitching success that they couldn't even get meetings with free agents, and this is a time when the organization needed pitching. You can either lament that, or you could say, you know, you could try to tell them it's not as bad as they think, or you can do something about it. They did something about it. I think they realized pretty early on that the ball was not carrying in the way they thought it would, and that they went out too far. And, you know, I think while the decision was made at the highest levels, this is an ongoing process. And Michael Elias said it himself, that it kind of became a distraction to be like hearing hitters talking about that, hearing that be a thing. And, in the same way that they realized at the time when they moved it back and made the initial adjustment, you know, you can either do something about it or you cannot. I think they kind of took the same approach here. It's like, well, this is kind of an issue, and we can either do something about it or we can have it continue to be an issue. And you know, this time around, they decided to do something about it and move it back.
All right. That left field wall, you know, Colton Cowser played it pretty well, got himself a Gold Glove finalist recognition. Didn't win Rookie of the Year, as we know, because he didn't win. As we all know, the Orioles didn't get that extra draft pick. Two-parter, did he deserve Rookie of the Year, John? And secondly, and to me the bigger thing, how does he, Colton Cowser, evolve as a ball player heading into year number two, his second full season, maybe trying to cut down on those Ks a little bit, I would think?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, I take, you know, I as a BBWA member, I've never, you know, when I was the Baltimore Sun, we couldn't vote. Now I just don't. I take a lot more issue with the people who left him off their ballot entirely than the people who, you know, voted for Luis Hill or someone else over Colton Cowser. He had a good, pretty good, maybe very good rookie year. I think if you look at some of the traditional stats, if you're looking at his batting average and the strikeouts, you can take some. You can take some, you know, exception to whether it's rookie of the year level stuff. So, you know, the team doesn't get the draft pick. He doesn't get, you know, the accolades for being second, but he had a really good rookie year. And I think he absolutely can get better. He's somebody who, you know, I think we're talking about 3-4 years as a pro now. The swing and miss is a little more prevalent than the Orioles would have thought when they drafted him. But he makes a ton of hard contact and he crushes, you know, the pitches he's supposed to. So I think it's, you know, going to be a balance. You know, Cody Ashe, the new hitting coach, said this in August when he was talking about the team's overall hitting philosophy. And, you know, you want to make sure that guys get better at what they're good at as opposed to just hearing about what they're not good at. So I think that they're going to, you know, continue to have Colton Cowser kind of drive fastballs when he gets them and put up good defense against the spin that gives him challenges. And that's a natural progression. But you know, he is a valuable player on both sides of the ball, and as a rookie who can continue to get better, make that like Jordan Westberg-esque leap next year, you really like what you can get from that.
John Mioli, Baltimore Banner, joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, talking Orioles on this Turn It Up Tuesday. Now, a lot of anticipation, excitement, I guess, from Orioles fans, John, as you know, because, you know, David Rubenstein said, hey, man, let's spend some dough. Mike Elias said he has freedom to do things, paraphrasing, maybe not getting crazy, giving out $1 billion worth of contracts in the offseason. But as they look to level up, the Orioles, after back-to-back flameouts in the postseason, we know Burns, we know Santander, they still got arbitration stuff to handle as well. But if we're looking at a realistic, you know, dollar figure that the Orioles might be spending, is there one we could circle right now? Is there still kind of a fluid situation?
I mean, in terms of offseason spending, you know, I don't have, I would need to look at like the arbitration raises, but, you know, if we're really talking about a frontline starting pitcher, which it seems like they, you know, by all intents they are, then that's in free agency, that's a salary that starts with a two. That's a $20 million plus a year type pitcher. It might not be for the longest term, but you're talking about somebody who's going to be making north of $20 million a year. I'm not sure they're going to get the right-handed hitting outfielder who can provide that kind of right-handed thump in free agency. It's basically Teoscar Hernandez or a couple of flawed players beyond that. So they might end up being creative and getting somebody who's a little less expensive in a trade or something like that. But you can really, you know, I think there's going to be on players that aren't on the roster now, you could look at $30, $40 million of payroll that comes through that. And that is that's a meaningful improvement over what they did last year.
John, do you see a lot of Elias doing a lot of trading in the offseason?
I honestly don't. I feel like a lot of the trades that he made at the deadline were kind of the kind that you kind of carry over, and you know, you're adding pitchers, especially who are under control for this year as well. I think, you know, as I'm putting together in the prospect rankings for Baseball America, there's a lot of good quality depth. I don't know that there's going to be a ton of, you know, top-end guys move, but there's a lot of moves you could make. And I do think that, as I said, the right-handed hitting outfield, you know, spot that they're seeking, it might be better off found in a trade than in free agency. But I think it'll be relatively active overall. I think that when you have money to spend, it's easier to spend money than to give away players because those young players are still valuable. You know, the Orioles were very low to do that when they didn't have money to spend, or were not given money to spend by ownership, however you want to phrase that. I'll probably go with the second phrasing, but they wanted to keep those young players. They wanted to keep those young players because they're cost controlled for a long time. And they'll still want to do that. But if you have the money to spend, it's only money to spend it. And I think that's kind of that might be the approach this offseason.
Well, I've said it 1,000 times. I'll say it again. My beer still costs $18 anyway. So spend that dough, man. Let's suck them down and watch them win in baseball. John Mioli, Baltimore Banner. John, we always appreciate the time, and we'll catch up with you as we get closer to the winter meetings here in a few weeks.
Awesome. Catch up soon, guys. Thanks so much.
You got it. John Mioli, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. Funhouse Trip, Nolan McGraw, Inside Access at 2. And then it's Maryland Hoops tonight on The Fan.
Quick Draws, Funhouse. The Rudeness, Tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that Quick Draw.
105.7 The Fan.
Let's start here with Keaton Mitchell. Haven't seen a ton of him on offense yet, but he has been out there returning kicks. Had quite a few on Sunday. Texter here says Mitchell still looks a little rigid in his running posture, a little stiff, not athletic, maybe not fully ready after coming back from injury.
Possibly. I mean, we hadn't really seen him. I'd have liked to seen him get a couple of the runs that Justice Hill gets, you know, like on those draw plays. I would like to see him get a couple of those.
And then as far as the kickoffs,
now he was,
yeah.
Like, if we would have seen it if when he went to the flat to the left that time and nobody in America covered him, we would have got a chance to see what he was like then.
And for the kickoffs, I mean, this has been just a big talking point in general, how flawed the kickoffs are. But if you're the Ravens, why are you bothering even returning kicks? I don't think Mitchell got back to the 30 much at all in any of his returns. And then you've got the penalty factor.
I know.
That even if he doesn't or does get to the 30, it could be coming back halfway.
And you know what Tim Brown always used to say? Because Tim Brown was a great kick returner and a punt returner. He refused to do punt returns. He thought punt returns were too dangerous, more so than kick returns.
Texter here says, going forward, I think it's on the coaches from here on out. Barring injuries, I've seen enough to believe that this team could make a 4-game run in the playoffs. The coaches must get these mistakes under control and have the team ready to play for 60 minutes. If the Ravens lose to Pittsburgh again, then Harbs better win it all, because otherwise he has to go.
Well, for 12 weeks, we were talking about the defense. You know, the defense was the problem, and the offense scoring 30-some points a game. Now we're talking, you know, that the offense made way too many mistakes with fumbles and penalties and stuff. So, you know, it's not like they'd been doing that every week. So I just think that was kind of an outlier. And let's hope that the defensive one is one that they can stack on, and that's more of what we see. And offensively, let's hope that, you know, we have an error. Because if they have error-free games on offense, they're going to score a lot of points. So, you know, and that's the message to the offense. Listen, guys, if you guys play your game, nobody can stop you. You know, all you're doing is stopping yourselves. You know, and then you talk about the penalties, and then you talk about fumbles and the turnovers. And then, guys, touchdowns. Let's just take the field goals out of it. And, you know, and us having to kick a 50-yard field goal, that's on us. We got to drive the ball better than that.
We'll go ahead and add another tally to the anti-Harbaugh column here. Texter says, this loss was on everyone, but coaching undoubtedly was the core reason. Same silly mistakes. Harbaugh doesn't learn from past mistakes. Worse yet, seems to be set in his own vision of quote-unquote football, or what it's supposed to be. Every time he embarrasses himself, it's always his own ego getting in the way.
The coaches, they work all week. You practice all week. You put a game plan together. You practice the game plan. And like on Wednesday, you throw stuff out that you don't like or the players don't like. And then Thursday, Friday, you kind of are finalizing things and sharpen them up. And then, you know, on game day, because last week, what did Marlon Humphrey say? What did Marlon Humphrey say about Zach Orr? It's not him. He gives us the plan. It's about us.
Yep.
Right. So on Sundays, all right, other than like some corrections and adjustments and stuff, yeah, that's about coaching the adjustments and stuff. But then the fumbles, the penalties, no, that's on the players. I mean, the players do need to get some responsibility. Mm. I mean, was it a crap call? Yeah. I mean, like, if it's crappy calls, yeah, that's on Todd. And the two-point play, that was a crappy call.
Close things out here with this texter who says, the Ravens are toast. Expect them to win two games the rest of the regular season, maybe three if they're lucky. But with four losses already in the conference, I don't like their odds come playoff time.
Well, right now, it's because what if all right, let's say you win... I think they go at worst 4-2, Bob. But, I mean, let's say that you win 3 of 4 down the stretch and you're playing and your defense is getting better every week. I feel pretty good about going on the road or wherever. I mean, I wouldn't have a problem with that because you got an MVP quarterback, you know, and it gets cold, you can run the football.
And you come back home for Philly, and what's Lamar, a bazillion and one against the NFC? So
yeah.
That's going to benefit them, but it's one game at a time. Speaking of cliches,
and the
Chargers first.
Big thing too is they got to run more plays, you know. But the thing that's crazy is the third down conversion sucked for Pittsburgh, and they still ran 74 plays.
It's 88-81-057. The Fan. That's going to do it for us. We're back tomorrow at 10 o'clock with Woman Crush Wednesday. Got Vinny's film breakdown of that Ravens loss against the Steelers coming your way. You don't want to miss that. Inside Access coming up here in a matter of minutes. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe. Stay healthy. We'll talk to you in the morning. For now, class dismissed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.